G'day, legends. Pretty Blake here at the top. Just to remind you guys, we are on Patreon. For an extra $5 a month, or for $5 a month, you get heaps of bonus content, which you want to jump on this month, because I went on a date with a listener, and let's just say they wrote in with some feedback, which I was unaware of, and Kelly reads out on the latest Patreon. So, yeah, it's fucking brutal. But anyway, no, it's not too bad, but it is... Yeah, okay, it's pretty bad. Anyway, but yeah, check it out. It's a really good, you know, fun little thing, and also, you know, helps us out, which is sick. So it's only $5 a month. This episode, we have the amazing Carl Donnelly coming up. So hopefully you caught him during the Melbourne International Comedy Festival. And later on in the year, we are hitting the road with Phone Hacks. So far we're thinking of Perth, Brisbane, and Sydney, because that's where we got the most fucking feedback from. So let us know if you want us to hit any other towns. What else is there? Oh yeah, and make sure you hang around to the end, because we have a little bit of, you know, shout out to all the Patreon subscribers and all that shit. So yeah, enjoy this episode with my mate Carl Donnelly. You.
Yeah, so it's written based on interviews with them.
Yeah.
It's one of the best music biographies you'd ever read. Like, it's brutal, but like, it's in brutal in the sense of you don't come away from it thinking they were cool guys. You come away thinking they were fucking horrible.
Yeah, like, yeah. You know. Even from that short little, they were fucked. Like, the lead singer, like, fucking, like, drunk in a car.
Killed someone.
Got, like, what? Fucking 19 days in jail Molly or
Crew.
Something.
Yeah, lead singer Vince Neil killed someone in a drink driving accident.
Jeez.
And pretty much got away with it.
Got away with it because he's rich, isn't it?
An OJ. God
did
damn.
Did an OJ. I mean, OJ's well,
I mean, that's a little bit of a different thing. A car one to actually
yeah.
stand.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, did a Caitlyn Jenner.
Okay, there you go.
There you go.
Yes.
What did Caitlyn Jenner do?
She killed someone in a car accident.
Yeah.
Which one's Caitlyn?
The dead name of Bruce Jenner.
Oh, okay. Right, yeah. Right. I was like, which one's that? Oh, yeah, okay.
And
the woman of the year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's, I think killing someone in a car crash, if you're famous, is much easier to get away with than
double homicide. Oh, if you did it here, if you over, like, point whatever the fuck it was, they'd put charge of manslaughter.
Matthew Broderick did it.
He did do it, but
yeah,
in Ireland.
In Ireland. Yeah.
Was it two people he killed?
I think so. And but I think Jennifer Grey was in the car. Maybe they were dating.
Jennifer Grey, from Ferris Bueller's.
Yeah.
Well, where did she go? I used to have a real thing for
her. You know what? She had
a
nose job, and then she couldn't revive her career.
Didn't that happen? Oh, hang on, no. Jennifer Grey, I'm thinking of the other one. I'm thinking
Sarah
of his,
Jessica Parker?
No, I'm thinking of his girlfriend in Ferris Bueller's, not his sister.
Oh, yeah, her.
Whatever happened to her?
I don't know, but I saw a picture of her, and she can still cut
it. I like that. You're like, where are they now? And then it's so stupid. And you see, like, an article online. Yeah. You click, you're like, I want to know. Yeah, they're fat and useless. You're like, sucked in. Yeah.
We should introduce our international guest.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
That's our longest run-up ever.
Just in case people are like, what? Is Liam Gallagher on the show?
Yeah.
Is this a music journalist?
No.
Recommending documentaries.
Carl Donnelly, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for
Carl with K.
Me. With a C.
With a C.
Oh, with a C. Yeah. I thought it was with a K.
No, it's the Irish spelling.
I appreciate that it's with a C. Because with a K, too much.
We were
too
in the
Germanic.
Same venue in Edinburgh, I think. Or
we were.
We were at the
counting house. Yeah.
Yeah. Were you upstairs or downstairs?
I was in the ballroom.
Oh, the ballroom's lovely.
It is, but it's a bit too nice.
Yeah, it's too high a ceiling.
It's grand. It is literally a ballroom.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a big old ballroom, and I was in there. And
did you enjoy it?
I did, but it's a weird... I felt there was days when it was a bit too grand a room for me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I quite missed being in a little low-ceiling, intimate room.
I love a low ceiling. Like, comedy, fuck off. Comedy's not... I don't think comedy's... When you see people in theatres, you're like, no.
Yeah, I'm not a fan at all. I mean, if it depends. Don't get me wrong. I can still really enjoy it, but...
I mean, 5,000 people paying $50 a pop wouldn't go bad.
No.
but I get it.
Yeah.
But the high ceiling.
I don't like the high ceiling.
Like, sometimes, like, there was this place where really high ceilings, like upstate New York, Levity Live, beautiful club, 200 people, beautiful club. The ceilings were like... 6 meters high.
Yeah.
And you're like, I feel like I'm telling jokes.
It's not something that make you do a tent or something. You're like, this is fucking
fucking hell.
I watched Maria Bamford's show yesterday.
Oh, yeah, how was that?
I mean, it's brilliant.
She's the best.
I've not seen her in years. Right. And I forgot how good she is. Like, yeah. It's one of the best straight hours of stand-up I think I've seen in memory.
What time is she on? Because I need to
was on yesterday at 6:45.
All right, I'm going to catch that
tonight. But that's in the Forum. And it's the Forum's a music venue. And it's a great... Like, the show is great, but I had to really focus on watching it because there's a lot of room around it.
The Forum's a fucking nightmare. I've seen shows before and it's like, there's like shit behind it, like
stage. It's really grand. It's a big grand music hall.
Like, and then you just got to look at the one person and you're like,
But she was so good that I did, man. Like, normally I don't enjoy comedy in big rooms. I don't really like watching it, but she's so good it overrode my sort of cynicism.
Now, Carl, you're wearing a wedding ring.
Yeah.
I'm like RoboCop with wedding rings, man.
Yeah.
I'm like, beep, 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 beep.
I've never noticed
that. Seen the speed bumps and challenges.
Is that a challenge?
Oh, really? But how committed are you? I had it last night. I was getting this strong ass. This beautiful girl came to my show, and her partner was fucking just, he was like me, but not as cool. Anyway, no, he was loud, drunk, and he was like, kind of talking during the show, but his partner was like this cute redhead. I'm a sucker for a redhead.
Yeah.
Like,
my wife's a redhead.
It melt my heart.
Always a little thing for the redhead.
Jesus Christ, they kill me. And she was in the audience. I couldn't stop fucking staring at her.
Mm.
But he was being a fuckhead after the show, just being like, you know, singing and watching TV and outside smoking. And I just happened to walk past a girlfriend and have a bit of a chat,
Uh-oh.
A bit of a long chat. Uh-oh. And then like I went away and then we were talking about something else. No and I was like, fuck. I reckon if he wasn't here, old Brady would be in on the thing. And you know what? And having actually talked to him after the show, I would have absolutely enjoyed it, even though, because he was a horrible human being.
Oh, really?
He was just a cunt.
I always wonder, like...
You're me if I didn't have a control switch. You know what I mean?
Because the thing is, when I see a girl talking to a comic... kind of really like, oh my God, like I'm like, I bet you he hasn't fucked her good in years. You know what I mean? There's that thing
he
where...
He looked like he hadn't.
And that's why it's so easy for you, Brady. You just gotta... Because she doesn't
like
know
like a Carmen
like.
San Diego coat on and shit.
Oh my God, or like a school shooter. Yeah.
One.
Yeah. Oh, fuck
weird.
Off.
But it's weird. Where were they from? Because normally I get that a lot when you tour around regional places. You know, when you get out of big cities, you normally see a much higher percentage of like really nice...
Chicky babes?
Just a nice, attractive, just friendly women with... absolute fucking
knobheads.
Wankers.
Bellends.
Yeah, bellends. But you know, and it's just because the pool of choice is smaller, isn't it?
It's the suburb. So like, thing, you know what I mean?
Like, and it's horrendous. You always like spend, you know, after a show thinking you just want to save 50 people.
There's a really good joke.
Get a van and drive them to a city.
Guys, just get in.
I'll get you out of here.
There's a really good joke. There's a young Darwin comic. And Amy Hetherington, and she says she's from Darwin, and the men to women is 20-1, right?
What?
So 20 men to every one woman.
Well, how is that?
Because it's just like Darwin, like work, you know, mining town, a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's like, the odds are good, but the goods are odd.
Because Darwin
is like way up. And I'm like, and she opens with it, and I'm like, fuck, that's a great joke.
Yeah.
And you just think.
Even Jacques Barrett, he goes, you know, you go to this beautiful country town, you see the most beautiful lady in a pie shop, and then you go like, I just want to save her. You're thinking about your life, thinking about getting married together.
Yeah.
And you go speak to her, you're like, I'm here for you, I can save you from all this. And she's like, how many pies do you want? And you're like, yeah.
Oh, no, it's a Dell.
There's always that thing. Because where I grew up, I had a lot of country mates because a lot of them went to ag school, came to our school, and then eventually went to ag school. And I used to go back to all their towns and hang out with them and do like the fire season and shit like that. And I used to go there all the time, like Pinjarra and was it Narrogin? Narrogin and Pingerly and Nan. Whatever. It was mainly Pingerly.
I'm sorry, I can't help you, buddy.
Yeah, I know. It's a burnout comp there every year. I don't know how I forgot it. Oh. Anyway, it was around the Pingerly area. And. It was always these most beautiful country girls who were just like everything. And then they're like, oh, where's your boyfriend? Oh, the cunt in the ute who's doing a burnout while Scull and Bundy. Yeah. And then lit his mate on fire. You're like, I mean, I suppose that's interesting.
Why do women like, and I know that this happens the other side. I know that there's really good dudes stuck with good women, but I don't have an example.
It was an origin, by the way.
Yeah. But I don't have it. Like, I don't see that very often, but I see so many dead shit dudes with women, and I just wish that women as a collective just got together and went, nah, I'm not going
to
fucking
get attracted to a dead shit. Like,
I've got a friend. I'll say his name. comedian who's here. His name's Jimmy McGee.
Oh, I like. Oh, yeah, I know.
He's brilliant. He's a really funny comedian. He's like notoriously single. He's been single for so many years.
Is he?
But he's notoriously rooted a few of my friends.
Oh, right.
Oh, by choice.
I mean, he's a very good looking.
He's a very good. He's a handsome man.
He's very handsome, well spoken English guy.
See, this is me.
And
feeling...
he dresses well as well.
I'm but so... he loves, and I told him he loves a horrible woman. Like
really,
often like there'll be after a gig. Sometimes if we gig together, like afterwards, you know, you might be in the bar and you get approached by some people just for a chat. And if there's a woman who's really attractive but really horrible, just comes up and is just rude and aggressive and
spits
like
spits in his face.
Well, no, but just like, you know, then people have got a bad vibe, right? Them ones are the ones that I can always
what are you
know.
Fucking Jimmy's looking at
Jimmy's like, gonna have a, yeah. Jimmy's gonna have sex with
he
that
wants
woman.
To fuck the...
Jimmy's gonna have sex.
He loves an absolute cunt, is what he likes.
He it's wants just, to fuck the shit out of her.
Well, no, he's drawn to it. I think he knows that it's that the chances of that being much more temporary, like one, you know, he's not going to wake up next morning and think, I'd like to see this person again. He's going to wake up next morning and think, I cannot wait to get out of this house. I think it's a defense mechanism.
Yeah,
when that's my psycho.
When you said he was always single, I like a part of my maternal brain goes, oh,
no, don't
is
be.
He?
No.
Oh, and you guys are like, no.
No,
he's a piece of garbage.
He does very well.
No, he's not. He's a very respectful. Like, he's really respectful and nice. He's a nice guy, but he likes being single. He doesn't like relationships as yet. He's still very.
I would say I don't think I'd even be able to see his face. I'd just see a skull and crossbone.
If you met him, he's the most charming man I know.
I don't know if you know this about me, Carl, but I have a pretty bad track record with men.
Well, you are about to meet your saviour.
It is not going to change.
Yeah. I'm about to teach you no lesson at all.
I don't really fuck comics. Well, they don't really fuck
that's
me because I have
way
a big mouth.
I am. I've never slept with or dated.
Really?
I've never even gone on a date with a comedian. Yeah. I almost once with somebody who's a friend of mine, and shit. Yeah, we once almost drunkenly did something, and we are very happy it never happened.
Well, I actively avoid dating comedians, even so, like I thought I was you know chatting to a girl, and then she was like, oh, I've just started doing open mic. I was like, see ya.
See ya.
And that's the arrogance of comedians then is us saying we're going to save these people from their shithead partners. And we're now going, but I wouldn't date a comedian.
Yeah, that's
the arrogance of us thinking we're special or cool.
I'm going to save you, but I'm going to be on tour 50 weeks of the year and never available for anything important.
Yeah, and if I have anything even under a great gig, I'm going to be sad for 2 days.
I only got one applause break.
God, we suck. We're horrible people. Sometimes my house is just sadness, but the highs are so high though.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes, like my roommate on her show, she mentioned Rockness Island, which is that, you know, the Quakers.
Yeah.
And they sent her like all these like chocolates and everything. I'm like, this is how we should live for the rest of our life. Like just people send you shit, but then the lows.
Yeah.
Just fucking shit.
Yeah.
But that's like anything, really.
But if you're
it's a bit more, you know, let's got two inside comedy, but you know, it's a. Yeah. It's an instant reaction. You get to see it. You know, it's not like music where you can just play over cunts. You know what I mean?
I do remember Edo talking about when, because she started comedy quite late, and she started comedy. She was like in a relationship for like 10 years. They had a dog. You know, she had this life, this amazing life with this person, and then that fell apart. She started doing comedy. You know, she started doing pretty well from the get-go.
Yeah.
And it's like her like 35th birthday, she was stuck sleeping on the floor at Sam Campbell's house in Brisbane with like sharing a room with five other fucking stinky comedian dudes going, no relationship, no dog, just going, is this what I've done to my life?
It's
just
lucky I've always done it from the get-go, so I don't know. Like everything I'm like, if I'm off the floor, I'm like, oh, someone's fancy. In your own room this
sofa.
Year, Brits.
A duvet. Ooh la la.
Man,
sorry.
Last time I went up to, I wasn't in a, like, because normally I used to hire, like, I'd get a backpacker's, but I'd get my own room in a backpacker's. Like a separate thing.
Treat
so it's
yourself.
Cheap. But it's still, you'll get your own space, but it's basic as shit. And then last time I was in a hotel and I was like, haven't things turned around? And then I was like, and then I listened to the traffic outside. So I was like, okay, that's why it's pretty cheap, but still.
Oh, man.
All right, we're back to being a scum lord.
So you married? How long have you been married for?
I've been married for 1 year and about 3 weeks.
Oh.
So this, it's my second marriage.
Oh, greedy.
What are the bloody first one cost you, mate?
Fucking some of us even
bloody the old ball and chain.
No marriages under my belt. Yeah, whatever. What happened? She got a failed marriage.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't yell at it like that. He starts crying. We've broken him already. Like, sorry, Carl.
Imagine
Kelly
if he goes, she died or something.
No, it was good old fashioned divorce.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, it's brutal, but it was. I mean, it was meant to be in the sense of we should probably never have got married. We'd just been together for ages and did that thing of going, we
should do it. This
yeah,
is the next
especially
step,
if you've got issues in a relationship. This is my bit of advice. Getting married won't fix those.
Yeah, right.
Getting
that
kids.
Yeah.
That solves
yeah,
it, guys.
Kids
have
fixes
kids.
Them for about kids 10 years and then you start hating each
what
other.
What was the issues? Is it just that you guys too much too young?
We grew apart.
Yeah. And when did you meet her? How old were you?
I was in my early 20s.
Oh,
and it predates comedy and everything. So like, that was it. It was that thing of having I had a life and then comedy came along and that sort of distracted me. And we grew apart.
Stayed where she was, which is fine.
Totally, yeah. It wasn't over. I just became a very different person.
Yeah.
So by the time we split up, I was a totally different person to who she met.
I know so many comedians that are like onto their second marriage. Like,
yeah.
It's not, that's pretty common.
I know.
And yeah, also when you're in your 20s as well, it's like, the person I am from now to the 20s, you know what I mean? It's like you're committing in your 20s, I was like, people who are like, oh, yeah, I married my high school sweetheart. You're like, fucking
fuck.
Hell.
It's great. And now and again,
that's awesome.
One works. But a lot of them look like, you can see in their eyes that you're like, you regret it.
Yeah, well, there's so many people from my suburb where I grew up, and you're like, the divorces are coming in now, and Brady's loving it.
The divorces are coming in now. I also, some people in those relationships are pretty cocky about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're like, well, and the house and the cars. And I'm like, hey, mate, I'm looking at four of you assholes.
Yeah.
One of you isn't going to make it.
Yeah, exactly.
So you can look down on me and my stupid single life all you want. Yeah. But what are you going to do when you find out? Like, sometimes I feel like I see the stuff that happens around me, with like the cheating or whatever it is within comedy. And I look at the suburban people I know and go, fuck, mate, you're so sheltered.
Yeah.
You don't know.
I reckon it's happening, but it's just not as...
It's not as... Because sometimes when I find like...
No one's putting that on, husband has cheated on me.
Facebook, you know.
But no one's just doing that shit. No one exposes you. Like you see that shit all the time, like fucking... I remember a classic one was I got in a fight with... I was dating a chick at the time, and this other guy was dating her best friend.
Yeah.
And we were in a car together and grabbed me or something on the side of the road. I was like, pull the car over. I fucking threw him out of the car. And then threw him down a ditch, whatever. It was pretty funny.
Why did he grab you?
He was just being a fuckhead. He's been a fuckhead all night and he's just a little fuckhead. Basically, in summary. So that little forest field came into me. I couldn't even explain. I said, fuckhead, fuckhead, fuckhead. And then the person I knew was driving, but I was like, just drive. And he's like, oh, we'll go back. And I'm like, we're not going back for it. We just left him on the side of the highway.
Oh, wow.
And then that night, he...
died.
Yeah. And I'm the real king now. But he hooked up with a stripper. It was a Bucks party.
Okay, yeah.
Right. And then the girlfriend came at me like, how dare you fucking leave him on the side of the road? And I'm like, yeah, cool. And then she's like, and then about an hour later, found out that he had been hooking up with a stripper at this Bucks party. And that's why I was mad at him plus that.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And then I couldn't say anything caught in the fucking middle. And then 2 days later, after all that shit, just like a week later, the love of my life just bought me flowers today. And he was like, nah, he fingered a stripper in the dunnies and he got thrown out of a fucking car. Put that story up on your fucking Instagram.
Facebook, you liars.
Yeah, but it's also that thing of, I do think a lot of people are sort of caught up in them lives and ignorance is bliss, isn't it? That thing of even if you just think, I don't want to think about that, let's just carry on, keep the status quo.
Yeah.
Whereas I think it's much harder when we... If you live a life and you're a comic and you travel and you get away from your life all the time, then actually you'll see the cracks in it much clearer.
Well, sometimes my sister will be like, do you know what happened? And she'll tell me some gossip about someone in the circle. And I'm like, and it's such a big deal because out of all that suburban people, they're like, he what?
Yeah,
and it's just the biggest. And I'm like, people don't even know.
Suburban gossip.
Yeah.
How's this, right? As a real, I don't think I've ever told this story on the pod. Fucking crook-ass story. Remember the car salesman? So I have a bad line. Thank you. Yes, I have a bad line of men I've dated. Car salesman, real estate agent.
Magicians.
Oh, man.
Oh, my brother's a car salesman.
Thank God he's not a magician. No, oh, that's a line.
But he is a flat earther. So
oh, really?
Is he?
Ooh, I haven't dated.
I love a flat earther.
I haven't dated one of those yet. Does he ever
date? Only because my uncle.
He's
my uncle,
married with, well, not married, but he's a long-term relationship, 3 kids.
Oh. And loves the flat earth.
Loves it.
The flat earth.
Really?
Does he also enjoy marijuana? Yeah.
He, as did I, like we liked a lot of it in our teens,
yeah.
At which was a time where we both also were suffering from some quite severe mental health problems.
Oh, no.
Luckily, I got my life together. He didn't.
Oh, he still believes.
No, he did. But he did pull himself out and he's fine. He functions, but he just believes some mad things.
Does he have a doomsday shelter?
No, he hasn't got the financial.
All right.
See, but I'm also I can't be on the fence because my uncle is he's very into the conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Loves them more than anything.
Love
them.
I'm a
mild doomsday prepper.
Right.
My dad is.
So I have a go bag. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready to go. Yeah, I have a go bag.
Full of emu experts and band aids.
Yeah, it's just got like water filtration, food pack. It's just a backpack I can take, and I'm trying to buy a gun at the moment.
But what's the doomsday you think is most likely?
Well, I don't know, but the fear is also I'm bored. Idea. I like shooting guns as well.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, if something fucking happens,
yeah.
Like, I don't know, say the power goes down or something like
yeah, we're
that.
Fucked.
I don't want to be that fucking idiot's like, well, what the fuck do I do? I'm like, yeah. I got a gun, I got a bag, catch a cunts, see ya, I'm good to go. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want to be caught out.
But what about, would you not maybe pull together with the community you're in and start a new
world. But I'd be the king of that community because I have a fucking gun, dude.
Yeah.
I'm not fucking going out picking berries, you know what I mean?
Oh, man.
I'm at the top, I've got a throne, you know what I mean? 7 wives.
A skulled throne.
Let's just say I'm ready to go from zero to Mad Max in about 2.6 seconds. I don't give a fuck.
A friend of mine who's in the army, I was like, who knows all that kind of stuff. I was like, so when the zombies take over, like what would my job be in the group? Like what do you think I could do? And he's like, human shield? Like,
yeah. Oh, wait, in this, are you still alive? I thought you were dead straight away. There's no way you're a survivor, Kelly.
Oh, yeah. Oh, so my crook story.
Oh, yeah.
So car salesman. So he went to Thailand. And this is really funny because...
Wait, the car salesman went to Thailand.
Car salesman had a bucks week.
Well, so you were together at this point?
We were together.
How long for?
5 months.
Okay.
Like we were already saying the love yous and stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I'd quit smoking because he was like, well, you know, if you want to have a baby, I'm not going to have a baby with a smoker.
Wow.
So I know, right? So
even though he didn't want kids, so good on him for tricking
no,
you.
No, well, he wanted kids. It was a real estate agent that didn't want kids.
Right.
Keep up.
Which one did you get?
Car salesman.
Oh, the child.
Yeah, the child.
Yeah, the big
child. So he was a big child, a big sookie la la. Like he had all these issues. Anyway, so him and about 10 of his mates all went to Thailand for this bucks thing. and I would love for, without saying any names, I would love for someone else to do the family tree on this and find out it's their husband that did this.
Yeah.
So he rang me like 5 days in. Completely depressed.
Right.
Because
$100. What are the odds? Five days of heavy drinking.
Yeah.
With your mates. Yeah. I mean, 2 days is fun, but after that you want to kill yourself.
But yeah, but the reason was because like he's like I've grown apart from all these friends. These are all his Brisbane buddies.
Yeah.
And he was living in Melbourne and he's like, I've grown apart. Like besides the guy getting married, who's on his best behaviours as well as car salesman was.
Yeah.
The other guys, they had a villa and they had sex workers living in the villa with them, and they all had their own chick that just stayed there with them, and then some of them had two at a time, and they were like, and to the point where car salesman was like, I locked all my stuff in a safe because they're just walking around in my bedroom, and like one time he got really upset because at breakfast one of them patted his belly and went, you got a big belly or something like that, and it made him really upset. I'm like, right. That's what you're upset about? But anyway, so apparently one of the guys got like an infection on his dick and then went home and didn't tell his wife and continued to fuck his wife, and I'm furious about it because I'm like, this fucking crook piece of garbage.
My uncle had the same one, like the conspiracy theory uncle, back in the day when barley was even cheaper. Like back when him and all his mates went over, who were some real crook characters. Most are in jail right now, which is very funny. Because they're my brother's wing, because my brother's a he works in the jail. I won't say which jail, but yeah, most of them are at his in his wing, which is real nice. They're like, oh, so yeah, Uncle Forrest. Anyway, so they all went over for a boys' trip, and the groom or the buck in question or whatever the fuck it's called was just going prostitutes, just bareback.
Yeah, bareback. And, that's what I don't get.
No. Which is, you know, if you want to hire, you know, like workers or whatever. But just, you know, have a bit of fucking Jesus Christ. You know what I mean? Anyway, got the worst infection ever in his penis. So much so he had to go to hospital and be put on, like, penicillin and all that shit. And he had to be medevaced from Bali back to Perth.
And
then his wife is like, well, clearly it's in your dick. We can fucking see it. Your dick's gangrene or whatever the fuck it is.
Oh, my God.
And then she still married him. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Unbelievable. Isn't
what it? Is it about, like, that pussy that is so... Like, I prefer a dick that I know. I want the regular dick because it knows how my pussy works. I don't want... Yeah, I just don't understand.
Pussies are harder than dicks to figure out. Dicks just come. You know what I mean?
But even I'd rather a dude that knows me.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm similar to... I've always preferred...
Clearly, you married second time.
If they touch my penis, I marry them.
Kelly's like, is that how that works? And she's going around assaulting dudes.
Oh, I'm a polygamist then.
I agree. Any periods of singledom I had when I did sort of, you know, that just have the odd little thing here and there. Like, they slowly chipped away at my self-esteem with it. I don't have that thing some blokes love it. It gives them confidence just getting off with somebody anywhere in the middle of nowhere and that. And I'd always have the opposite. I'd wake up in a shitty hotel in like the Midlands in England on a Sunday morning and just be like, oh, this is not what I'm meant to be doing.
So how did you get out of the first marriage? Like, what are you...
It just exploded.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, wine glasses thrown against the wall?
There was...
I can't imagine, because you're not a very confrontational person.
No, now I'm not. I used to be much more... I've always been very chilled out, but I used to have quite a bad temper.
Yeah.
And actually but towards the end of that relationship, it really peaked, and we both just sort of were really firing, arguing all the time, and then it blew up. And then after that, since then, I've really sorted everything out. And I mean, I can't even remember the last time I was approaching angry.
Really?
That's good.
With no medication. I'm sort of on natural Valium or something.
Well, I think it's because...
Disfigured you out and what was causing all the anger.
I think so, yeah.
Did you go see anyone about it? Or?
I did everything. I did loads of hippie shit as well. I was on antidepressants for ages. Then I did therapy. Then I cut out the antidepressants. I started doing meditation. I went vegan.
I started meditating.
I went off and did ayahuasca.
Yeah, ayahuasca.
Hallucinogenic tea.
What was that like?
That was incredible. That was the final one I did. I did other ones. Like I smoked DMT and did all this crazy shit. I did loads of mushroom ceremonies.
I'm going to find you in the desert.
Yeah, I mean.
Just talking to coyotes.
But it sort of finished with ayahuasca, which was about two and a half years ago. And that was when I sort of felt like, right, that's me done. I've sort of got myself where I'm happy.
Feeling real chill.
Super chill.
It's never about the dishes, is it?
No, it's all about what's going on.
Like the fights, when you see couples fighting and they're like, why didn't you take that park? That park's right there. We have to walk so far away now. I'm like, guys, you need to get
it's
therapy.
It's never the visible thing. It's the baggage that comes with it.
Oh, totally. Yeah. If you're arguing about the washing up, you're not arguing about the washing up, innit? You know what I mean? So it is that thing of you're just waiting for something to be like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And that's horrible.
But that's also like up to, like for me, I know that when I get really mad at someone, like when that anger's there, I have to really, I'm so much better at stopping going, oh, okay, I'm mad at myself because I feel like a failure because I didn't make this work or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's hard, isn't it? Because it's impossible if you're that. Luckily, my wife is super chilled. We never argue about anything. Anything that even looks like it's going to be an argument, we're very good at just like saying it, pointing it out, we'll end up laughing about it. But like so it's sort of I think it'd be hard for me to be with somebody who's really fiery because I would sound so patronizing if they get upset about something. The last thing you want is the other person to be like, you're wasting your energy here. Come on, you know, let's all just relax. That's the worst, isn't it?
I need it.
Because I'm a bit fiery. Like, I'm a bit like...
You've got to have someone who's on the similar wavelength.
We're both fiery, though. So if he's fiery, I get fiery back. It doesn't help us.
I think it's also you can't have two extremes. You can't have somebody who's like... Like, what's the point in losing our temper when somebody's actually lost their temper? Like,
that would make me more angry.
You lose your shit, exactly.
Yeah, because I used to, my first girlfriend, she was very, like, chill.
Yeah.
But then would, like, baggage snap.
Yeah.
Whereas I'm like, no, this is fucking pissing me off. Like, I do it with my roommate now, and he's like, what? He goes back at me, and I'm like, we end up arguing.
Oh, no.
But it's not. It's he's a good mate.
It
breaks my brain. I'm gonna share it with you. I don't care, right? Somehow, you know the mat that goes around the toilet.
Brett's really clean. He's in a nice way.
Oh, really? I'm clean in a good way.
Cleaned the whole house today. Vacuum, mop. I don't fuck around. And right, bedrooms. Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
Communal. Anyway, so the mat that goes around the toilet, the base of the somehow it is always a meter and a half to 2 meters away from the toilet.
Yeah.
And I go in there and I go, I don't even know how that is possible.
Yeah,
like,
are you doing
a shit and then just booting it?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I said, Nat, what do you do? I said, in all honesty, what do you do? I'm not even annoyed. I'm like a scientist now. I want to fucking figure out how to split the atom. What do you do that mat ends up there? And he's like, I had a shower. But yeah, you had a shower. There's a shower mat. The shower mat's fine. You get onto the shower. How does that mat that's 2 meters away impact your shower?
It's mad.
I don't know. And
I've stayed in like house shares in Edinburgh during the festival. Luckily, last 5 years, got a very small crew. We found a cool house. Everyone's on the same page. No one's messing it up. Mm. Yeah, very clean.
Mm.
John Hastings is with us, and he's like, we've had to whip him into shape. Like, first year, the amount of times it was like, mate, just fucking... You know, there's a dishwasher there. You don't need to put a cup in the sink or next to the sink. Put it in the dish. Like, you know, just gentle sort of thing. But I've stayed in ones before where, there's some things you just find a part of the house in a sort of state that you're like, I can't understand. Like, I remember one house share. Every time I was going to the bathroom, somebody who'd used the bathroom, if they'd had a shower, the whole bathroom was just wet everywhere.
Oh.
And it was like... The bath mat was like they'd put it in a bath. Do you know what I mean? Clearly they must have like been washing, turned the taps off, and just jumped straight out and almost like shaking it everywhere before drying. And it was just a fucking sodden mess.
It's
where have they learnt that skill?
Yeah, it's the logistics behind it that annoys me.
Yeah, because it's more what they're doing than actually
standing in the thing, getting your towel,
just give yourself a little wipe,
pat down.
Yeah,
then you step to the mat.
Yeah. So why is the mat from the toilet?
I don't know.
How? Because I know... Is, I know.
But I dare say if I do what I want to do, which is set up a hidden camera, I'd be in a little trouble.
Yeah.
It's not because I'm a pervert. I just want to know what the logistic is behind
it. But can you put it on an angle where you don't see what's in the shower? Because the thing is, the way his bathroom is that the toilet is like on the window and then you got the shower and then you got the door.
It's
so he has
impossible.
To go out of his way to get onto the toilet mat.
That's what breaks... the mat annoys me. But also my thing is, if you've kicked the mat... 2 meters away from where it belongs, fucking put it back.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
You know what breaks me? When people cut up something like a lemon or an onion and they leave it open on the countertop
with the
knife there and then you come home at the end of the day and it's dried out.
Well,
like, didn't wrap it up, put it in a container, put it in the fridge.
Yeah.
Now I've got half a lemon that is fucking done.
Put it
fucking in the fridge.
My in-laws who live from Melbourne. I live in Melbourne. They live in Hampton, just outside the city.
Ooh.
And I've never seen them put the lid of the butter back on. They literally, I've been here for 3 weeks. I'm staying with them. 3 weeks I've been in the city, staying at their house, and the butter lid has not once been on top of the butter, and there's just a knife sticking in it. And it's like that is to me that is the most insane decision.
I know it's the little things you find as well, which is
I'm a guest here. This is absolutely fine. I can laugh at it, but like that to me, I can't even get my head into a place where I'd work out how that. Like I found the other day, the butter lid wasn't even next to it. The butter lid was over by the cooker. So like they've obviously they must have moved just the lid.
What's worse than that. Is my old roommate back in Richmond would have the butter knife and put it straight on the countertop. So you'd pick up the knife and see the remnants of butter on the fucking countertop.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Not on the lid, just straight butter.
That's amazing.
Like butter with bits of crumb and Vegemite
still
on it. Mate, furious. This is why relationships break down.
Yeah. John Hastings is we finally got through to it. It took 2 years to really... beat him down.
Really?
But he does a lot of gigs. He's one of these people at comedy festivals who goes just insane. Does about 8 shows a day or just do anything.
Mm.
And he's always doing late shows. And he basically likes to sleep in late. And in Edinburgh, like, you know, the flats all have like massive windows and stuff. So he always puts bin bags over the windows, but then doesn't open the window for a month.
His room
fucking stinks.
Oh, like, boys.
Because he's a big man as well. Yeah. And he always wears them cheap, shitty trainers with no socks.
So we've got rules.
Like, his trainers are not allowed to be in the house. Like, and now every day, like, we force him to open his window for an hour. And just like, we've had to sort of turn him into a human being.
My thing is, why wouldn't you want fresh air? You know what I mean? Like,
he's a different beast.
But like, shoes, trainers, no socks. Do you want women to fuck you?
He's now started to wear them little socks.
Fucking hell.
So he's getting better.
Stinky boy.
But he stayed with me in London about 3 months ago. And he showed up having landed from, I think he'd come from LA. And he walked into my flat. And I instantly smelt his trainers. And I was like, mate, you're going to have to put them out in the garden. I'd not seen him in ages. I was like, you know, he's one of my best mates. And rather than like hug and be like, how are you? First thing I've been offered, I went, mate, get the fucking shoes in the garden, mate. I'm not having it.
But that's what I'm like with my friends. Like for age, I'll be like, disgusting. I'm like, man, Ian, your fucking breath stinks, brother. You know what I mean?
Oh, no.
And then he's since gone to a doctor, found out he had a gum infection. I was like, see, bullying helps. I mean,
there's a few, there used to be he's a very good comedian, but I won't say his name, but he had a bit of a whiff about him for quite a few
Ricky Gervais.
Years.
No,
I'm not going to say. No. But it was somebody who every time you'd sort of
ben
meet
Elton.
Him in a dressing room, they just...
We had to do it with one of our mates who's, you know... Well, anyway, most of the people who listen to this podcast know who I'm talking about. But
he doesn't wipe his bum?
We were like, mate, brother, you know,
yeah.
Come on. And he didn't know. You know what I mean?
What was he not putting deodorant on or something?
No, he's just a country boy. You know what I mean? Yeah, so he's, you know, you know, he's used to being out in the fresh air, but when you're inside, you know, and he just for ages, he had a bit of a pong or he wouldn't
pong.
Change his clothes and like, and now he's got a missus whipped him into shape and whatever.
So I've never smelt him.
No, but there was a time where you're just like, fucking hell, mate. Like, come on.
I'm hypersensitive to that. Like, I always wear a jacket on stage, no matter how hot it is in the venue.
Really?
Always, and it's normally like a denim jacket or something. I always wear two layers on stage.
What?
It's just a thing. I feel comfortable. Like, it almost feels
I'm
like
the opposite.
It almost feels like a sort of mental thing of I'm about to go on stage, get your uniform on almost. Like, it's like my mind sort of tricks me into going,
I'm the
right,
opposite. I can't have anything
I'd sweat so much.
Yes, I do. Yeah. But that's me. I've got loads of jackets, so I have to sort of alternate them a lot and I wash them a lot.
So stink.
But yeah, if I go like over two gigs, maybe third gig, the moment I start even getting a little, and I'm the one who I've literally got my nose in it and I get a whiff and that goes in the washing machine.
Yeah, I'm super to smell. Yeah, I can smell it, like even like when too much perfume and shit, like no.
See, I do, but I spray a bit of, I like to put aftershave on just before going on stage. So when I walk on, they get a little whiff.
Africa?
Yeah, it's a little thing just before, like 2 minutes before going on, two sprays.
Okay,
and when I go on, give the front row a little treat.
Ladies, bring a plate. Hey, Carl, what's one of your bad dating stories?
I mentioned it before.
Yeah.
I genuinely don't think I've ever had a particularly bad dates, as in like when I've arranged to meet someone.
Well, you had a bad marriage, but that's good.
Yeah, I mean, I've had a bad number of years, but I've had plenty of bad sort of almost hookup type things.
Did you fuck it up?
Oh, I've had absolute stinkers. Yeah, like I mean,
what'd you do wrong?
Well, like that's when you're talking about the bleakness of when I was like, there are moments when I've been single and it suddenly got to a point where I find myself just chasing. You know, and that's what I find bleak. That sort of, it's almost all you think about when you're single, I think. It's just.
And you end up fucking someone that you wouldn't normally fuck.
Absolutely.
Ugh.
And also, but there is that, I don't like the bleakness of constantly thinking, like, there's always an ulterior motive to every exchange you have with a woman, isn't it? If you're a straight guy and you're single.
I tried to write down everyone I've had sex with, and there was some of them. There was some that I was like, either couldn't remember their name.
Yeah.
And like remembered a really dark time where I was like, I should not have fucked them.
Because last week for the live pod we had to do, I was trying to roast myself and I got all some girls to message back a score out of 10 for kissing or some shit, which was awful. But then it was like, I was like, oh, fuck, what was her name? And then finding a few, I was like, we bang for ages and we're not friends on Facebook.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, this is just sad. You know what I mean?
It's weird.
And then one chick wrote back, because we only made out briefly and And then she wrote back, "I don't remember." Yeah. And I was like, if you're getting maggot and doing these things, are we really having a good time? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Kind of made me real think about it.
But I had one once when I was, I think it was just after my marriage ended. And I went.
How old were you when that ended?
It was only 6 years ago.
And how old are you now?
37.
Okay, so you're like 31. Okay, so you're 31
and
a marriage.
And I haven't been
about.
Single for ages as well.
So you were like.
So I had like my early days of singledom. And then suddenly I found myself being single and a comedian. So I was single and traveling. And I suddenly had like a lot. And I was also way more confident than I used to be. I used to be a bit of a. I acted confident because I used to drink loads and do loads of drugs.
What did you do before you were a comedian?
I just did loads of shit jobs.
Oh, yeah, right.
But, and for the last couple of years, I was working in a media company just in an office doing shit. But yeah, so I was a totally different... I suddenly was like 30, 31. I was sort of a bit confident. I was doing something where you sort of look quite cool and confident.
Yeah.
So you had a bit more superpowers, innit?
Yeah.
And, you're 2 years into your, to your two-year-old jokes.
Yeah,
you're doing
yeah.
and you're thinking that you're top shit and you're like, I've got a really funny fart joke that I'm going to just fucking bury the crowd with.
What I found, because I'm always very honest on stage and I sort of turn over stuff really quick just because I get bored of stuff really quick. And I was talking about the breakup very quickly after the breakup. So like, I did an Edinburgh show 2 months after we broke up about it.
Oh shit.
So I'd wrote an hour, like, I'd written an hour that was previewing and then it happened and then I sort of totally reshaped it and did it and it sort of, it was a good show, but like in terms of it was just, it was messy because it was a fucking, I was a mess at the time. And, but yeah, I was talking about it on stage and I found that, it's that classic thing, I don't know if it's different now, but women love a damaged man. You know, the amount of like, I've never ever had more people come up to me like sort of a bit like, and start chatting to me really like, and there's an undercurrent when they were talking to me.
Yeah, that's definitely my MO.
Right. Yeah, I got a lot
of
women.
I've had a few damaged men under my belt. And I think I can help him and fix
them. He's damaged a few men as well.
Yeah. Oh, no. But then I walk away more damaged because I try to help him. And then because they're ready to fly.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me. I had loads of that happen.
Not ready. Whenever a chick talks to me, I'm like, get away. Do not try and help a dude who's down and out.
Yeah.
He's got to do it himself.
Yeah.
Because we'll just be dragged down.
It's bad.
When they start flying.
But so I went through a period where I was... And suddenly, once you start getting a little groove on, and I was like, fuck, it's quite good being single. And then it started just getting into that thing of... I'd finish a gig and it was almost all I could think about.
Ah.
You know, I'd just be like... I'd be doing that sort of horrible...
Green.
Me and Marcus Birdman, who we chatted about before, he's a really good friend
of
mine.
Love Marcus, yeah.
We call it vicaring. When you're a... if you're a comic, what you do is you do your show and then you sort of... find a convenient location near the bar but also near the door where people are going to be leaving by, and it's almost like you're there sort of saying goodbye to the congregation. and it's a way
Vickering.
Of letting any potential suitors have another look at you, essentially.
Yeah.
So we always called it vicaring, and like, and
that's
me and Marcus
funny.
Came out of like long-term relationships at the same time as well. So we were going through it at the same time. So we both had our proper vicaring days together.
That's
and it was brilliant. But like,
peace be with you, and on my dick.
Oh man! And sometimes it was great, but there was times where it was so bleak. And I used to have a big story I told on stage after it happened about one of the bleakest. In terms of like, I just kept chasing this night. I got chatting to this group of people after a gig in Birmingham in England. And it was like 7 or 8 of them, and they were all really giddy and happy and fun. And they were just like, it was a bit much, but I was sort of like, oh, this is fun. But there was this one girl who was redhead. She was absolutely lovely, and she was really nice, and she was cool, and she was sexy and everything. And basically, we started chatting, and I didn't really. There was one other girl who was a real sort of live wire, and I was really intimidated by her. She was fucking loud and like quite sort of aggressive, like in how she talked to you. And then the guys were a bit sort of nondescript. You know what I mean, so I was sort of like, I was trying to size up who's what, what's going on here. Are there any couples?
Who's seeing what? What's going on?
And then it turns out none of them were going out with each other. They're just friends, right? So then after about half an hour of drinking after the show, one of them said, like, do you want to go to a bar? And we went to a bar. And then they said, oh, do you want to come to a party? And I was like, well, you know, I don't really want to go to a party, but I'll just keep
following.
Dick
wet.
Yeah, I want to keep following this girl.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
fuck.
Then we got in a taxi and we drove. I was staying 2 minutes from the gig.
No.
And we drove in the taxi for about 45
no.
minutes.
No.
Fuck.
No.
Just out into the West Midlands.
No.
Like, into a fucking country town. And we pulled up outside our house and there was music and lights on. I was like, oh, it's a part. Like, I thought it'd be like a little sort of chill thing. It looked official. And then we knocked on the house. It turns out we were going to one of these people's stepdad's 50th birthday.
Oh, fuck.
And it was just in a conservatory, and it was just about 15 old people, essentially. Oh. Just listening to music and sitting around. There was nibbles. And
just turning to the redhead and you're like, are you going to fuck me or not?
Oh, my God.
And we got in there, and then it just became that horrible thing of trying to sort of orchestrate me and her being alone. And I just
couldn't get it to work. Why didn't she just stay with you there?
Because I don't know. And it just all, and then it basically, but it ended up getting so out of hand. Like, what happened was everyone just started getting really shit faced. And these people already been drinking all night, and they're in their 50s, so they're just fucked. You know, people in their 50s get to that point of drunkenness when they let their hair down. It's just game over.
Baby,
so that,
drunk baby boomers? Yeah, I know.
So it's just started to get a bit
karaoke
messy.
Starts. Ugh.
And then the live wire girl, who didn't know anyone else at the party, so she only knew these couple in this group, she said to me, I'm gonna do something, watch this. And I was like, what's that about?
Oh, love this chick already.
And she went up to the CD player and changed the CDs. She hit the button and then she ran out of the room. And then no one knows what's going on. And then she runs back in fully naked, right? And she goes up and grabs the birthday boy. Bear in mind, she doesn't know him, and the birthday boy is just having a drink with his wife. She pushes him onto a chair, and she starts doing like a striptease.
Naked.
But fully naked. She's gone straight to naked.
Yeah, that was like she's just naked now, you know what I mean?
And
is she hot?
Not really, no. And whoa. AC/DC, I think it was Back in Black, was playing. And it was just...
was not the spirit of the song?
And it was so... Everyone Hold was on so fucked. So everyone, like, everyone started looking at each other like, what is going on? And it absolutely killed the party.
I love that. In her mind, it's like, this will turn it to a 10. Oh, and it just turned it down to a 2.
Absolutely down to a 2.
Everyone's like, might go home now.
It all kicked off. The wife started having a go at her. He was the... You could tell the actual husband was a bit excited by
it. Did he know her?
She was a friend of the girl I was chasing. The girl I was chasing, I think it might have, I was drunk, but I think it might have been her stepdad, if I'm remembering correctly. Right. So what happened next is,
that girl kind of knew that guy.
She'd never met him in person.
Yeah.
How's the wife though? The poor wife.
She was
just sitting
not
there,
happy at
but
all.
Just going, have you tried the cheese and dips? They're quite nice.
It was the grossest thing. And I'm there just like, this is absolutely fucked.
No.
And then
you're trapped.
The girl, she started saying, like, I think we should call it a night. And she started asking people to leave. And I was like, in my head, I was like, this might actually work out for me. Get rid of all these pricks. And she might ask me just to hang around. And it just didn't happen. It ended up, I got sort of booted out of the house as well.
How'd you get home?
Well, so then as I got booted out, the girl who's done the striptease, she got booted out as well.
He fucked her?
Almost.
Yes!
Because what happened next is, it ended up with me, her, and two gay guys who were from the party out just in this such a quiet street. And I was like, I don't know where I am. And she was just pissed and mad. And then the gay guys went, do you guys want to come back to ours? And we were like, where is it? And they were like, it's literally like a 5-minute walk. So we end up going back to theirs. It's like 3 a.m. at this point. And we went into there and they just sort of popped out loads of beers. And it was actually, I was like, oh, this is all right. I can live with this. And then they went, I'll come into the next room. And we went into the next room. And they had this sort of conservatory room. And in it, they had their own like karaoke room.
Oh fuck!
Like, had a big TV, had a proper like speaker system and stuff.
Mate,
and they turned
when you
on
don't
this
have
karaoke.
Kids, you get karaoke.
Yeah, they turned on the karaoke machine, and then they asked me to sing them a song, and it was a bit sort of like they went, "Come on, Carl, give us a song." I was like, "This is, I'm not really, I don't really want to."
Oh my God.
There's four of us in the conservatory. I don't know you two, and
this is
fucking
my worst.
Nutter,
this is how you can prove
this fucking nuts has just
this
ruined everything.
This is my worst nightmare, being stuck. Oh
yeah.
God!
And then they picked me a song, and it was. Oh fuck! It was it's an Erasure song, not Little Respect. What's their other one? Sometimes by Erasure. Do you know that?
No.
It's a quite really sort of quite a cool late '80s, quite a camp song. And they just put it on and gave me a microphone, and
oh
I had to stand
God.
In front of them and sing.
You had to audition. For
yeah, two guys and this nutty woman.
This is their. This is like their ploy. This is like their.
So how did you nearly bang the chick though?
Yeah.
Just there was a, she just started laying it on a bit thick, and actually at that point it hit such a bleak moment where like she wanted to, and I sort of actually had a moment of clarity where I was like, you know. I was only at that party trying to get off with your mate, and now I've just sung to two gay guys in their house. And what? I just had this sort of existential crisis.
I would have done it just for the story. I'm like,
yeah. I know. I said to her, no, I can't. And then, like, I just called a taxi. And it was so fucking long and far.
And expensive?
Yeah, it was pretty expensive.
That's that is my worst nightmare, being stuck in the middle of nowhere. Gross. And I can't get home. I'm around all these people that I don't know in their home.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Worst. I don't really like I don't like that sort of being around people I don't know. But the fact I'd done it for that reason, everywhere we went, I was constantly chasing it. It just got worse and worse and worse. And it ended up just...
Yeah.
That was the moment I was like, fuck, man, this is not...
This is fucked.
I need to wind my neck in a bit and stop being such a horrible, like, just after a gig, just leching around trying to find
someone. Stop bickering all the time.
Yeah.
You mentioned your friend has a worst first date.
He won't mind me saying it, but Marcus Birdman,
what
comedian.
Was that?
Tell us that.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an abridged version, because he actually does it, the full version on stage. And it's like, you know, you could tell the story for 40 minutes. There's so many ins and outs.
Yeah.
Well, we've only got 10.
I'll give you this quick abridged version. It's one of the... He basically got sort of set up. He was doing a gig in... Stavanger in Norway.
Jesus.
And the promoter said, oh, there's somebody I think you should meet. I think you'd really like her. He was sort of trying to hook him up and set him up. And basically, he did the gig, had a really fun gig, came off stage, and the promoter was there, and this lady sort of approached him, and I think he assumed it was her. So he introduced himself, and they started having this chat, and she was really tall, like sort of quite an imposing blonde Norwegian. And he was just like, wow. You know, he was quite newly single as well, so he was just like, he couldn't believe his luck. They have a really sort of fun chat, and that she's quite sort of confident and almost like aggressive, like in terms of, like, you know, she's really laying it on thick with him. And after about 15 minutes, right, he's chatting to her, the promoter keeps making eye contact and sort of going like, shaking his head and sort of going like, as if telling him to get away from her.
What?
So he doesn't know what's going on. He's like, why? Hang on, I thought he set me. Now he's trying to tell me not to.
What?
Anyway, they chat for a bit, and very quickly she says to him, like, where are you staying? And he tells her his hotel, and she goes, like, well, let's go to your hotel now. And he's like, fuck, this was the easiest thing of all time. They go back to the hotel.
Oh, my God. They
start getting it on, and she's basically very sort of aggressive. And then she bites his dick, like, very hard. He sort of pushes her off him, like, what the fuck are you doing? And she just punches him in the face.
I've had that before. It's awful.
And then she lays on the bed and passes out. So she's just drunk and just angry. She bites his dick, punches him, just goes, fuck this, and goes to sleep. And he's there, just so shaken up. You know what I mean? He can't believe what's just happened to him.
Is his dick bleeding?
I presume it's not in a great way.
What a lovely way to say he had a mung dick.
Anyway, so he's all shaken up, but it's still like, he's only been gone from the club for 20 minutes, and he's sort of all shaky, and like, he thinks, I just need a drink. And he thinks, I'm going to walk back to the club. It's only around the corner. So he gets dressed, goes back to the club. The promoter goes, what the fuck happened to you? And he goes, I just went back to the hotel. The promoter says, I was trying to tell you, don't go with that woman. She's mad. And he goes, my friend's over there, the one I was actually going to sort of tell you to meet. I think you'd get on. Basically, long story short, he meets this girl, and they get on amazingly. And it's all like, oh my God, this is what it should have been. And then she says, should we go back to your hotel room?
Oh, no.
And he thinks, you know what, I might as well just level with her. So he says, I would normally say yes, but I've actually got a very drunk, aggressive, blonde Norwegian woman on the bed currently. This is what happened. He tells her the story of what happened. And just he tells it fully honest. And she goes, well, I tell you what, why don't I get rid of her?
And he's God, this is fantastic. This is right.
She goes,
I thought you were going to say threesome. I was like, fuck yes.
She goes, why don't I pretend to be your wife? We go back and I just lose my shit. She was an actor, this woman.
So
I lose my shit, and she'll just run off thinking she's done something terrible.
Something tells me that this Amazon isn't going to take this too lightly.
They go back to the hotel room, they go in, and she's just still just out for the count. This big naked woman on the bed. And then this woman that Marcus is now with starts doing a really northern English accent. Like, she she's Norwegian. So she starts sort of shaking a woman, going, "You've got to leave. Get out. You've got to leave. You're in my husband's bed."
Oh, like my God.
And then Marcus says to her, like, "What are you doing?" And she goes, "Well, I'm doing a character." So she's now in character trying to get this woman to leave. This massive blonde woman sort of like rouses and she stands up. And she's like, "What's she going to do?" And they didn't expect this. She walked over to the corner of the room and there was a little table where Marcus had all his wallet and everything. And she just pissed all over it. Right, just pisses all over the table, just ruins everything.
What?
And
hang
then,
on,
this chick's sick.
Yeah, she squatted. She got on the table.
Well,
and squatted?
It was a low. It was a little low sort of side table.
And she squatted and
squatted
pissed.
Over it. Just pissed all over his stuff. Right.
This is insane.
I know. She then goes and lies down again.
She just goes and lies down again.
Yeah, yeah. This is my story.
And
right?
Now this woman goes like, "I'm not having this. This is mental." And just sort of goes, "Get out." She grabs her. Dragged her off the bed and they have a sort of almost minor scuffle and basically she manages to get the woman out the door and she's, by the way, when she gets back to the bed she pisses all over the bed as well. She carries on pissing, so she ruined the bed.
Mental.
And then basically got her out of the room. They throw her clothes out to her. They open a few minutes later, she's gone. And then basically the girl who's thrown that one out turns around. Marcus is there, absolutely shaken up. He's had his dick bitten. He's watched her piss over everything. He's watched this woman get into character, fight
superb
that woman,
character.
Throw her out, and he's just there, absolutely in
piss
shock.
All over his phone.
Door shuts, and the woman just gets a towel, puts it over the bed, and just goes, "Come on in."
Yes,
it's unbelievable, isn't it?
What?
Did he root her?
I think they just had a nice night together, and then that was that.
How the fuck can you have sex on a piss? Stinky bed.
I mean,
she did put a towel down.
She put a towel down. She's not an animal.
I don't know about you, but
God, I love
kinda...
that story so
Jesus
much.
Yeah,
Christ.
It's amazing, isn't it? But and the next day, the next morning, Marcus woke up and was like, couldn't believe what happened. Obviously, the bed was piss everywhere.
Disgusting.
And he was really sort of like nervous about housekeeping. And then sort of he got a knock from housekeeping and it was like a quite sort of, I think it was like a Filipino house cleaner. And he was just like, "I think she'll be all right." You know, when you get like a sort of, yeah, like a Thai house, like keeper, that you're like, they've seen worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think
but,
he really
but also,
out.
Wouldn't you ask the hotel for another room?
Well, I mean, if you've caused it, are you allowed to do
that?
Yeah,
yeah.
I didn't cause it. This fucking...
But, I mean, it was ultimately...
You let her in. That's
yeah,
your problem.
He invited
not,
her.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, someone just, I came into the room and there was just a lady pissing, yeah. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
I might ask if Marcus might want it, if he might want his name beeped.
That's fine.
Just out of curiosity. And I've said it again there. So three beeps. But if you do beep his name out, people will probably, because he's talked about it on stage in his show before last. And it was an amazing story.
He's a great comedian.
He's a very good comedian.
That's an incredible story. Honest to God, I did not expect. The pisses on the table, comes back to the bed.
And I can't believe he's... I mean, he is a handsome man.
He's a very handsome man.
So you know a lot sense. Of handsome men.
I do.
You're the Pied Piper for handsome men.
I just... I mean, I'm sort of not... Yeah, I'm good company for them. So I don't challenge them for looks. I'm just sort of the funny little sidekick.
Jeez, we have to end it
I'm
there.
I'm their friend. Yeah.
We can't top that. We have to end it there.
Yeah.
That's crazy, Carl. Fucking
Carl,
hell.
Carl, where can people find you?
I'm online. My sort of... gigs are always, I put them on like Instagram and stuff.
Yeah,
not
nice.
Like, I mean, I put the dates and then I do a couple of podcasts.
And what's your handle for Instagram?
Just Carl Donnelly, CarlDonnelly.
And your potties, what are they?
Well, I do one which is called Two Vegan Idiots. Me and a mate just talk shit with a guest for an hour each week. And I do one actually called Babysitting Trevor with an Australian comedian called Trevor Crook. He's a bit of an old sort of...
Yeah, I know Trevor.
School,
he's
yes.
very... Yeah,
so
he's
we've done four seasons we've released. We've got a fifth season in the can. And it's about... It's me and my mate Chris challenge Trevor to do modern day male... Like, you know, like things that old school Aussie blokes don't do.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So that sounds great.
Yeah, Trevor lives in the UK now, doesn't he?
Yeah. So yeah, we sent him off to yoga and we took him life drawing and all, it's just... And we just
get
his response.
I took him life drawing for this pod.
Yeah,
how
and then left me. So it was
and
just me with a mullet there. Just staring at a beautiful lady drawing
a
and
naked,
I can't draw some stick figures so I just look like a pervert.
A naked, hot Asian chick, naked life drawing.
Yeah.
Because I was arguing with the car salesman and all I went outside for the whole thing. Yeah,
well, we had our. It was the first episode of season four we did. We took Trev to this life drawing class, and we found, because he's a bit of an old perv.
Yeah. Oh,
and that's sort of a running thing that we're trying to sort of make him better. But we'd wanted to take him life drawing, and he didn't want to go. And then we found a thing called the London Strippers Collective, who do Union's life good. Drawing as yeah. a little part-time thing. Like on Mondays in a cool like East London hipster pub, they do life drawing upstairs. So they, because they're strippers, they can hold amazing poses.
Oh yeah.
So there is an artistic element to it. So we took Trevor to that, and on the day we took him, without any planning, it was the first time they'd ever had a male model.
Yes!
And he was the muscliest black guy I've ever seen. He was enormous. He just came in, got his clothes off, and Trev just lost his mind. Like, he couldn't look at his dick. Like, every drawing he did didn't have gay. A midsection.
Oh, really?
He just drew like a sort of waist up and then sort of just sort of knees down.
Jesus Christ.
That's great.
Yeah.
Pretty people find you.
Just at Brittany Blake and brittblake.com.au, which I haven't updated in ages, so fuck you.
And Kelly Fistuka at everything.com, and go to our Patreon. We love you on a Patreon. We're going to be doing a lot now. The Comedy Fest is going to be over. We're going to do a whole heap for you. But thanks for supporting it. Thanks for giving us money. We love you very much. And Carl, thanks so much for coming in.
Cheers,
Kelly.
Thanks for having me.
Bye. Hi, everyone. It's Kelly here. We are going to do the Patreon shout outs. When I say we, just me. I don't even know what I'm doing. Look, I stopped drinking coffee and I'm dying. But thank you to everyone who's joined us for the Patreon this month. I know that my brand new breakup was good news for everybody. What a fucking nightmare. But I'll be back out there. I have more stories for you. Anyway, here we go. Ooh, bit of music? Oh, God. God, I suck. Thank you so much, Lucy Harrison. Lucy Harrison, you fucking legend. Rebecca Margaret. Emma Colville. Bron Livesey. God, I must be butchering these names. Bron, thank you, Bron Livesey. Sarah Wilson, thank you for your nice, normal Anglo name. Kirsty Burke. Kirsty. Thanks, Kirsty. Pass it to me, Kirsty. I'm your goalkeeper. Marcus Little. Thank you so much, Marcus. Carly Sample, also on the netball team. Andrea Hintz. Thank you so much, Andrea Hintz. James MacArthur, you legend. Peter Hitchens, you fucking legend. Jackie, legend. Bruce, what an Australiana name. Bruce, thank you very much. Daniel Scarra. Lawrence Rushton. Lawrence with a L-A-U, not a L-A-W. That's weird. Amelia Bacola, mate. Thank you so much. What a fucking legend. I believe that is a sister to my friend wife. Thank you. Thank you, Amelia. Say hello to George for me. Nicole Chapman. Nicole, also on the netball team. She's our goal defence. Sean Flynn. Thank you, Sean, for all the nice messages about the IVF stuff. Chris Breaker, all the way on the other side of the world. Thank you, Chris. Gerard Murphy, bloody Gerard. Legend. Reese Thomas, love you, Reese. Love your work, Reese. John Passmore, legend. Joel Kandia. I think we do this every week, Joel, sorry. Ainsley Adams. Ainsley's on the opposite netball team. Fuck those bitches. Love you, Ainsley. Lizzie Martin, thank you, Lizzie. Edward Bassanelli, thank you, Edward. Read out one of his intimate questions on May's Patreon. Nathan Vines, Nay Watson, thank you so much, Nay. Jeff Cody for PM, yes. Grace Carter, thank you, Grace. Thank you, Brooke Stocker. Thank you, Linda Moulton. Thank you, Matthew Perusa. Thank you, Chris Rhodes. Thank you, Peter Hitchens. Thank you, Amelia Edwards. Thank you, Claire Dew, you bloody legend with those gorgeous dogs of yours. Thank you, Mark Kentwell. Thank you. They come through again because they're from last, you know. Lawrence Rushton, love you, Lawrence. Love you, Bron. Love you, Amelia. I think they turn up twice because let's start that music again. I think they turn up twice because they're, even though it depends on when you pay it, it kind of, you know, anyway, I don't give a fuck. I'll read you out twice. Bron Livesey, Amelia, there you are again. Brittany Croft, James MacArthur, Jackie, Emma Colville.
What I'll do is I'll do shout outs every week at the end. So and you get love where love's due. Emma Colville, Alan Jones, thank you, Alan. Philip Boothie, love a bit of Boothie. Carly Sample, Ainsley Alcock. Oh, fuck, what an unfortunate last name, Alcock. Rebecca, Margaret, Bruce again, Kirsty, back in, up and in, Kirst, up and in. Thank you, Kirst. Thank you, Tara Truella. Nicole Chapman again, Marcus Little again, Courtney Herman, Sarah Wilson, Andrea Hintz. Alicia Baradine, Lucy Harrelson, Daniel Scara again, Billy Amatniks. Oh, God, sorry, mate. Sorry so much. Natasha Casey, thank you, Natasha. Ryan Ferraro, what a legend. Edward Crawl, Jeff Kempen, bloody the rower himself. Then we've got Jez, then we have Casey, then we have Mitch, then we have Aaron, and then we have Renee Clark. Thank you, Renee. And then we've got Melanie Shanley, Zoe Ackerman, and Peter Saruda. So you're all bloody legends. We fucking love you. Love you. Love you so much. They're all our shout-outs. Pretty cool. Intimate questions. I believe Edward Okamaki was complete. Need intimate questions. Yep, we've done you. Chris Breaker, Jared Murphy, Reese Thomas, John Passmore, Joel Ainsley, Lizzie Martin, Nathan, Jeff Cody for PM, Grace Carter, Brooke, Linda, Moulton, and Matthew. You're all due an intimate question. So email us on the Patreon page or on Gmail or Facebook me, whatever. So we can we entered a fucking doozy in the May one. And we never really talked about it in depth before. So it was pretty fucking cool. So anyway, thank you everyone for listening. This has gone on too long. So I appreciate you listening to your shout outs. All right, bye.